WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning. Welcome to church. It is good to be together on this lovely morning. A few announcements before we get started. Let's see. Our liturgist today is Rose. Our radio sponsor, Steve and Christy Stutz, in honor of their second wedding anniversary. Yay. The Sauk Prairie Against Hunger PAC event will be this Thursday at 6:30 at Grand Avenue Elementary. There's a sign up, although if you didn't sign up, you can still come. Also, a couple other things. Tomorrow at noon, I'm going to be at the juicery. So if anybody's free tomorrow at noon, come and have a juice with me. And don't make me sit there by myself. I can sit there by myself, but I hope not to. Next week, we are going to talk about being peacemakers. This will be the start of a discussion on this. I'm looking at maybe some speakers to come and do a little workshop for us. Being a peacemaker is an important part of our job description as people who walk with Jesus. Also next week, if kiddos would like to wear their costumes to church, they are welcome to do that. Kiddos wear costumes. Actually, any of you, any grown-ups want to wear a costume? You're allowed to. November 4th, I'm going to meet with the confirmation kids for a little bit after church. And then our annual meeting is November 10th. Also, November 17th, because we want to have something every week. After church, we will have a little discussion of the book of Job, which we talked about last week and also today. So, why do bad things happen to good people? We'll talk about that and not answer. Church is more about good questions than having all the answers. So now let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship. Our welcome statement. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community as we welcome and value all people, whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome as you are here at First UCC, Sauk City. Now let's take a moment of silence to bring ourselves into worship this morning. Breathe in the Spirit. Breathe out peace. Deep breath in the Spirit. Breathe out peace. Whatever stresses you have had this morning, let them go. Set them aside. Breathe in the spirit. Breathe out peace. Please join me as together we read the call to worship. Holy dwelling place, your tent is large enough to provide shelter for all who seek you, food for all who hunger, and healing for all who suffer. Meet us here today that we might risk sharing Jesus' cup and his baptism, so the world may become the place of love and justice. You desire for all. Shelter us with your light. Teach us how we may best serve ourselves and one another on this journey. Amen. Those who are able, please stand while we sing our opening hymn, the New Century Hymnal, number 742, Gather Here. Do that as a round. Please join me in a prayer of unburdening. We want to be a church open to God's transforming love, yet cling to comfortable ways. We want to honor the divine still speaking voice, but are fearful of insights which challenge old assumptions. We want to live into Jesus' dream oneness, but fail to listen to dreams of difference. And hear God's promise to us. Take heart. Jesus is calling to us. We trust in the one who came to be with us and who has guided the church for two millennia. God forgives us our failings and continues to call us into a community of mutual love and forgiveness, for which we say, thanks be to God.
Thanks. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near.
Without exception, you may sit too. Everyone is welcome at this table. If you are hungry, if you are curious, come and eat.
Jesus will tell us in today's gospel that in order to walk with him, we need to drink from his cup. We need to share his baptism. He didn't mean the sacrament of baptism. He meant the washing, being immersed. He warned that that's hard. The cup from which he drinks is not an easy one. The baptism in which he is immersed is not an easy one. And, dear church, he promises to be with us for every step of our journeys. Promises to accompany us, to love us, and to help us love each other. For all of the ups and downs in life, we will be fed. On his last night, the night he was betrayed, he sat with friends, he took bread, and he broke the bread. And he said, "Eat this bread and remember that you are beloved. Remember that no matter what happens, I am with you and I love you and I will not leave you. No matter what, eat this bread and remember that." He took a cup and poured wine and said, "Drink from this cup. Drink and remember. Remember me. Remember what you've learned. Remember the companionship that you have had, the friendship, the love. Remember what it means to walk with Jesus." Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour out your blessing on this bread, this cup. May all who eat and drink here remember how beloved they are. Remember that we share this table with Christ, our brother, our friend. In your name we pray. Amen. Bread of life, mercy, it is broken for you. Steve, it is the bread of life and it is broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. It is the bread of life broken for you. Good job. The bread of life broken for you. necessary. The bread of life broken for you. Christy, the bread of life broken for you. Steve, the bread of life is broken for you. Mark, the bread of life broken for you. Debbie, it is the bread of life and it is broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. Jane, the bread of life broken for you. Shirley, the bread of life broken for you. Sharon, the bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. Broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. It is the bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. Tim, bread of life broken for you. Cliff, the bread of life is broken for you. The bread of life for you. The bread of life is for you. The bread of life for you. The bread of life for you. The bread of life is broken for you. Bread of life broken for you. Larry, the bread of life is broken for you. Kathy, the bread of life is broken for you. Tammy, the bread of life is broken for you. Christy, the bread of life is broken for you. The bread of life is broken for you. Dean, for you, the bread of life. Rose, the bread of life is broken for you. Okay. And it doesn't look like we have any other folks. Holy One, we give thanks for this opportunity to gather as your people, here in the building, listening on the radio, watching on YouTube. We can gather in many ways, and we are your people. We thank you for this table at which we are fed,
by the word with which we are fed. This company by which we are fed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we have a choir anthem. If anyone else is interested in being part of choir, I bet they would find some room. And if you're not a good singer, you'd get better. Also, we have room on our lecture schedule if you'd like to read or help with communion or do any other things. And in fact, as I stand here, I see some people who'd be really good at it. And now we have our kids' time. Would our kiddos like to come up? Somebody can sit at my left. Hello. Left is my favorite direction. Are y'all gonna, anybody gonna dress up for Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you gonna be?
A blow-up dinosaur.
A dinosaur. Blow up dinosaur? Yeah.
Hockey player.
Hockey player. Cool.
A ninja turtle.
Teenage ninja. It's okay if you don't know yet.
Iron Man.
Oh, Iron Man. Yeah? Okay. You got time. There's some time to figure it out. It's a little ways off. When I was a kid, I was always a witch. Yeah? Every year I was a witch. I had to get a new costume now and then because I grew out of it. My sister was a princess all the time. I never was a princess. I like to wear black even then. Halloween, we look at all kinds of scary things. You can drive around and see houses with big witches and tentacles and creepy monster-looking things. And it's kind of fun, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so too. Some of them are sort of scary. So what we talk about, we'll talk about when you go to Sunday school, is somebody named Job in the Bible, and some really hard things happened to him. So what we learn from that, from this book, is that there are all kinds of scary things in the world. And God is bigger. God is bigger than all the creepy things, even witches. So God will always be with you, even as you go trick-or-treating. And we will hope that you get good things. And then give 10% to the church. Not really. Just the peanut butter cups. I know, right? They're so good. Okay. Let's pray. Holy God, bless these kids who are growing so fast into such wonderful people. Help them to grow in wisdom. Help them to grow in faith. Help them to grow in love of you and love of their neighbors and love of themselves. Help them to remember that even with all the scary things in the world, you are bigger and you will be with them. In your name we pray. Amen. Now you go to Sunday school with Mrs. McFarland. Use your walking feet.
Bye. Our reading this morning is from the book of Job, chapter 42, verses 10 through 17. And God restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and God gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and they ate bread with him in his house. They showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that God had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a gold ring. God blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named his first Jeremiah, the second Keziah, and the third Keren-Happa. In all the land, there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters, and their fathers gave them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his children's children, four generations, and Job died, old and full of days. Our Now Testament is on Modern Wisdom by Nikita Gill. You are allowed to break. Everything does. The stars grow tired and fall. The waves crash against rocks and shores. Trees fall for both storms and wind, leaving behind seeds and saplings so a version of them may grow again. Storm clouds part for rain, then part for the sun to come through. Night must break for day, and day for night in a cycle. The world is made of broken things, piecing themselves back together. This is what gives us the most resilient stories. So why do you think that you were made any differently than the night and the storm clouds? You know how to put yourself back together again, too, just as well as they do. Take heart that you have managed to rebuild yourself 1,000 times after every bad day. That is no small thing.
And our gospel today is from Mark, chapter 10, 35 to 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized to drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers rule it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Last Sunday, we began to hear from the book of Job by focusing on a common misunderstanding. Jesus' so-called friends, the comforters, believe that God rewards the good and punishes the bad. So if something bad happens to you, you must have done something to deserve it. The assumption that people get what they deserve, or people deserve what they get. Job is presented almost in a fairy tale format, not as a history, as an allegory, almost once upon a time. Was there a man named Job? Maybe. We don't know. There certainly was no witness to God and Satan ever making a wager. But then, as now, people try to understand, why do bad things happen to good people? Why me? It's a good question, and I've asked it. We probably all have. The author of Job wanted Job to be totally blameless, A bet between God and Satan highlights just how much he didn't deserve what happened. So last week's question, what might they have said that was comforting? People think there's a comforting thing to say. But imagine your grief. Was there a thing that anyone could say that would put it all in perspective and make it all right? There isn't. Not for me. So you just show up and say, I'm sorry. This sucks. I will be here for you and with you. And let them sit in silence. Let them say, I don't feel like it right now. Let them say, let them tell stories. Let them cry. Let them sit and watch episodes of Ted Lasso and laugh. Might have heard of the patience of Job. The patience of Job. Job says, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And those are just a few. He complains a lot for like 3 books. He accuses God of piercing him with poison arrows, crushing him with a tempest, multiplying his wounds, hunting him down like a lion, breaking him on every side. That's oversimplification to talk about the patience of Job as if he bore his suffering meek and mild. He bore his suffering and he persisted in his integrity and his faith. And he was brutally honest with his friends about how miserable he was. And he demanded God respond. He wasn't patient in a sense of idly sitting by, passively letting things happen. He stood before God with his fists up and said, "What the heck?" And it wasn't blasphemy. And it wasn't wrong. And God can take it. There's a lot of that, actually, in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, Lamentations, many, many of the Psalms. And then God responds to Job and says, I know what I'm doing. And Job is satisfied. His world is rebuilt. What we heard today, the prologue, or epilogue. And yet, pastoral theologian Carrie Doering identifies trauma as a biopsychosocial response to overwhelming life events. Biopsychosocial. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our relationships, everything impacted by trauma. It creates a new normal, a radical break between our old self and our new self. So God speaks, suffering Job repents, God doubles Job's wealth and prosperity, and he lives happily ever after. Except the book of Job is about not getting what we deserve, getting things that we don't deserve to happen. And then at the end, he gets his reward. He's a good guy, so he gets all the good things. But trauma theory tells us that we are changed. We are changed. Job was. Life in the aftermath is different. We usually think of traumatic events often as sudden and brief and dramatic. September 11th, a car crash, January 6th, going to war. And these are super traumatic. Post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a real thing. And trauma can be cumulative. Fear, living through years of COVID, the continuing black people getting killed, the shootings at schools, watching the news, and knowing as you turn it on that something terrible is going to have happened. This is all trauma. I think all of us are living with some amount of PTSD. This is part of why the end of Job's story is hard and also beautiful. It's not that everything happens for a reason, or that tragedy makes us better people, or God will give us shiny, happy endings. There's not a happily ever after, necessarily, not in this life. Jesus shows us that, right? Easter, he returns, and he has scars. He has the remnants of his loss and his pain and his hurt. And yes, God brings life from death, and God redeems and restores. But resurrection doesn't erase the pain. It doesn't make it okay. It's a way forward that honors the scars. Doesn't mean that it was just fine that Jesus was betrayed and executed for no reason. It means it's a new thing. Today's gospel, Jesus specifically tells us that faith doesn't mean that fairy tale happy ending. Although I never dressed as a princess, I did love fairy tales and the happy endings. He said, if you follow, you drink from my cup and you share my baptism. And those are going to suck. Sometimes. Trauma doesn't just go away and things go back to normal. We're changed by it. It's about living in the aftermath. So Job wraps up with this happy ending. He gets his fortune back and twice as much as before, and he gets a lot of new sheep and new ox and new camels, and maybe they're better than the old camels and sheep and oxen, and he gets new servants, and he gets a new house, and he has new sons and daughters. And these sons and daughters might be better than the other ones anyway. Yeah, you looked at each other, right? Because that's ludicrous. Anyone who's ever suffered a loss knows that another child won't take the place of the one, or for Job, all the ones who were lost. I mean, maybe sheep are replaceable, maybe a house. Loved ones are not. It is perhaps surprising that none of his friends mentioned to Job that he could have more children or that God needed some more angels. Martin Luther King Jr. said, as my sufferings mounted, I realized there were two ways in which I could respond to my situation. React with bitterness or seek to transform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow the latter course. Sometimes we hear suffering builds character, right? It does not necessarily. That's a choice. That's a choice we make. You probably all have known people who had something bad happen and decided to make something good come out of it. And you probably know people who had a loss and became smaller. It's a hard choice. It's a crappy choice. It's the only choice. And I think that's what happens in this story of Job, this happy ending story. Not that he got his stuff back and a bunch more animals and new kids, and he got some gold rings and everything was fine. He suffered and he encountered God in that, and he became a more beautiful person. Not just a good person with integrity. He was that before, right? But a person more loving, more compassionate, more appreciative. Ellen Davis, theologian, a book called Getting Involved with God, Rediscovering the Old Testament, and she asks, and we read this ending as an answer to, can you love what you don't control? When we first meet Job, he is careful, maybe even fearful. It says he makes sacrifices just in case his kids have done anything wrong. So what does it take for him to live again after his trauma? It's not about justifying God. The question is, what does it cost him to be a father again? Imagine him holding a new baby for the first time, undeciding, can I love this one? Love is a risk. So when we see Job at this end, he is lavishly loving his kids. And he breaks social custom to give inheritance to his daughters as well as the sons. He names the girls, three beautiful daughters. Their names translate as Dove, Cinnamon, and something like blue eyeshadow. The book names the girls. It doesn't name the boys. This is pretty unusual in the Bible. There are lots of women who don't have names. And it shows this lavishness of love. Job might be more loving now than he was before. Generally in the Hebrew Bible, and also the Christian one, daughters are not a blessing. People long for sons. That's throughout the Bible. Need a son, because a son will become head of the family, carry on the business, be the legacy. Girls get married and they join other families. And this pays attention to the daughters. It indicates that Job doesn't care so much about legacy anymore. He cares about the joy he finds in his children. So, when something happens, what do? Do we opt out? Do we shut down our hearts? Do we long so much for what was before that we can't appreciate what is now and what can happen in the future? And churches have no small tendency to do this, right? There's often a lot of, before pandemic, we had this many people, or 50 years ago, we used to have all these events. How heartbreaking would it have been for those new kids to have been constantly compared to the old kids? So, our choice. Do we participate in lavish, unbound love of God, who adores this cosmos that is full of chaos and destruction and disorder and beautiful things and not beautiful things? We get to choose to risk our hearts or not. Job is a difficult book and a remarkable book. And it is a book to struggle with. But it is not a satisfying answer, and yet it is the only possible satisfying answer. May we have good answers too. Amen. And our hymn is from the New Century Hymnal, number 46, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Actually, it's number 31.
daddy and everyone. We sit, and now it's time to share prayers with God, who knows and loves us in all things. Are there prayers to share today? Somebody come get this microphone. Why, thank you.
For prayers for the farmers. This harvest has been a challenge, and recently, because of the dryness of the crops, the land in general, there's been several fires, and just pray for safety.
Hi, I'm asking for prayers. My dad had what they're describing as a soft stroke on Wednesday. His name is Marvin Schultz. He lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He's 85, and prior to this, he was living independently, alone in his own home. And so I just ask for prayers moving forward. He's well enough. He's still in the hospital. He's well enough to say, I don't want to go to a nursing home. And so prayers for him, prayers for me, prayers for my sister Deb and brother Mark as we, you know, navigate this journey. And just in general, I think for anyone who is struggling with sudden events and life transitions, because these are hard things, and just faith and strength during these times.
Many of you know our longtime member and friend, Gary Schlender. Gary is at St. Mary's Hospital dealing with some very serious health issues, so we'd like all of you to keep Gary and Sandy in your prayers. Thanks.
And Sandy would also like to thank everyone for their prayers and calls. And we should keep Katie Smith in our prayers. She has a neck injury she's dealing with. And also prayers for Deb Loffenberg, who had surgery and is recovering at Maplewood.
Please continue to pray for the people who are suffering this conflict in Israel and Gaza. It seems like a never-ending problem, but there's got to be some solution there.
There are no more prayers to share aloud. Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers in our hearts. Holy God, we pray today for Barry's dad, Marvin, and all her family. We pray for the farmers. They're having such a hard time with this changing weather. Hot days in October. And all the places that are facing wildfires, pray for safety. And we pray for will to do something about climate change. We pray for Katie. We pray for Deb. Continue to pray for Harlan. We pray for Gary and Sandy Schlender. We pray for all who are struggling with life transitions. They are hard. We continue to pray for Israel and Palestine. Continue to pray for Denny. We are grateful to have Larry and Kathy with us again today. Holy God, all these prayers and the prayers that we hold in our hearts, hear us. Amen. And we have some good news today as well. I'll go ahead. There's a Swiss land artist. I didn't know what that was. Sapi. The contraction of say peace, and he creates these enormous paintings in nature using all biodegradable paint. He made up his formula out of water and chalk and charcoal and milk, trying to minimize the environmental impact. So they don't stay up long. His projects highlight peace, justice, environmental stability, and sustainability. So I put a few pictures here. It's a giant squished up water bottle. And this is the Beyond Walls project, which connects dozens of cities across continents, the largest symbolic human chain in the world. So there's Paris.
You've been London, listening to the Dubai, Sunday morning worship service Viva. From the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.